Right, it is now 11:30. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM here with Eat My Brunch. And my guest in the studio with June's Book Club is writer, author, all-round good egg. She does loads of writing all over the place for the loads of journals and also for the Brentwood Gazette. She's also got an amazing blog which she gets thousands upon thousands of hits per week. It is Sylvia Kent. Hello, Sylvia.
Good morning.
Who brought me in some lovely strawberries?
Yes, I rushed down and picked them.
Thank you, and yes, they're delicious. Also joining me in the studio today is a regular to Phoenix FM, Ches Moulton, who is an inspirational speaker, therapist and clinical hypnotherapist, and he's here to talk about his book, which is called Choice and Change. So how are you on the other side of the mic?
Yeah, I'm kind of getting used to being over here lately.
So you used to do a show here, a blue show here, which was very, very successful. How long were you here at Phoenix for?
I was here for 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Not long enough.
You've got a great voice.
Thursday evenings?
Yes.
Was it 6?
Yeah, Thursday to six, from 6 to 8. That's when I used to be here.
How about that?
Absolutely.
I used to listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got one of the most fantastic voices we've ever had here.
Yes.
Need to do some voiceovers.
And a great fan, Bill. You have lots of fans.
Apparently.
Yes, you do.
Right, we're going to start off with you, Sylvia. Now, you always come in. We talk about the... you've got the Billericay Writer Circle. So at the moment, what are you guys reading?
Well, they're actually a reading group. Mm-hmm. I do both reading groups.
The reading group, yeah.
Yeah, it gets a bit confusing. So we were, last time we spoke about what we're all reading, and that you've already covered that. But I'm in the last month of getting my book in. So my actual reading is to do with Barking and Dagenham.
Yep.
And some of the famous people that lived there and had a connection. And so I've been very lucky this last few weeks with connections. Now, this is name dropping. I don't like doing that. It's not a very English thing. But Vera Lynn, for instance, is going to be in my book.
How old is Vera Lynn now?
97.
97.
Yeah, and she's lovely, and she's looked after by a daughter and lives in Sussex.
Yep.
And is a lovely lady. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the last, not last one, but the one before, George Carey, who is lovely. He's going in. Captain Cook's going in, but he's dead. Dudley Moore's.
Oh, yeah, I love Dudley
and
Moore.
And I played the piano that he played.
Oh, wow.
So when I go and do research, people are so kind. They go that one step extra, and, you know, I tiddled on his on the piano keys. Sir Trevor Brooking, bless him, interviewed him for a big magazine. Barry Hearn, Bobby Moore. Quite a lot of the footballers are going in the book. And I've had fun, as well as seeing my new friends being there at his book signing, which was wonderful.
Excellent. Right, well, we're just going to have bring in Ches, as I said, inspirational speaker, therapist and clinical hypnotherapist, and we'll talk about the book Choice and Change in a minute. When did you actually get into becoming an inspirational speaker? How did that actually happen?
Well, yeah, I'm told that everything I tell you about that, I mean, I can only tell you what other people tell me. It's their comments and their judgment, really, not mine. I've been told that I've been inspiring people, one to one in small groups, all the way back to the days when I was working part time my way through high school back in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where I grew up.
Mm. It's just because, do you think you've got like a positive energy to always look on the brighter side of things rather than take the negatives?
Yeah, I would say that. That's what people say. We have a choice, which is one of the words in the title of the book.
Yep.
We have a choice. I think I just, somehow or another, I guess I've just been gifted in some way. I just seem to understand the human dynamic in a way, and I can take what you're telling me and regurgitate it back to you in a way that makes sense, and give you the positive side of it, as well as acknowledging that there may be things going on in your life that maybe aren't too great, but a panacea. It's just reality, really, is what I do. I just talk about reality in a positive way.
What are the benefits that people can get from clinical? We moved around to the hypnotherapy as well as the inspirational speaking. What can they get with both of those types of therapy?
Well, a lot of people generally think of hypnotherapists as somebody that you go to when you want to quit smoking and lose weight. Or you have sleeping issues. That's true. I still have a lot of people coming into my practice that want to do those things. But what I've done is I've recognized that most of the problems that we have today, most of the things that are wrong with us, all comes back to stress. Stress is the result of, or the cause of, just about everything that's wrong with us today.
Yeah.
And so what I do is there's so many other different types of fears, phobias, obsessions, these types of things that people present with. And that's what I do. I go right back to the cause rather than address the symptom. And this is what helps people get through in their life.
Do you think that people are talking about sort of depression and stress more than they probably would have done 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And is it different being over here in the UK? Is it different to the way it's, you know, over in abroad? Because I think we'd say stiff upper lip, us Brits. So do you think we're getting more sort of open and talking about discussing things more?
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the things I always tell people when they ask me why I moved to the UK and how I like living in the UK, I've been here now for about a little over 2.5 years. I just love living in the UK, but one of the things I like about the UK is I like the people. Mm. I like the atmosphere here, like sort of the energy in the country. And one of the things I like about Brits, is what we call them where I come from, is just like, you all seem to just get on with it.
Yeah.
Right? And there's not a lot of mucking about. You just seem to get on with it. And I like that, because that's kind of the way I am.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. In terms of the level of stress, it's not a cultural thing as such. It's more of an individual thing, I find. I don't find that as a whole there's any more stress in the community of, say, of 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 people here than there would be in any other place that I've had the pleasure of living or visiting in my life. It just seems to be an individual thing.
I'm glad you've not got a Cockney accent yet, but it's only a matter of time. the accent will go, Sylvia. You know it will go. Just bringing Sylvia in. Now, the book you've got at the moment, you've got Residents and Visitors.
Yes.
Who's this book? Who's it by?
Well, this is actually put out by Barking in Dagenham Libraries, because that is the area that I've been visiting last few weeks. And interviewing people. I'm best at interviewing, I suppose, than being interviewed. But yes, they've looked in their albums for these photographs I need, because the book is called Barking and Dagenham from Old Photographs, and it's looking at them 50 years, where 50 years ago they were two separate towns, and then London, LCC decided that they should be stuck together. Some did not like it.
Yeah.
Some of the Barking people did not like being connected with Dagenham and vice versa. So I've been picking up, you know, some of the thoughts there. This is not a political book. It's just a looking back and for memories. And, you know, I've enjoyed it because I lived there, you see. I was brought up there and remember some of the things, the parks and what we did as kids, you know. Now, of course, it's greatly changed, but we're not doing the current state of affairs. We're doing history, and I'm a social historian, so... Yeah.
I must say, I have got a friend who has a school picture, which has got about 400 people, and in it is Dudley Moore.
Love it.
So if you want a copy of that, I can get it for you.
Because love it.
You obviously know Dudley Moore, but as a musician, just phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
Well, my best friend went out with him when she was 16.
I would have.
She was a foot higher than him because she turned into be a model. We were all part of the Essex Carnival, Dagenham Carnival.
Yeah.
And there's an odd picture in there with a certain person with a crown on her head and looks horrible with false eyelashes.
I'm sure it's not.
It was 50 years ago, so,
Now, we're going to take a very short break. We're going to come back and we're going to be talking about Chez's book, Choice and Change. Have a healthy relationship with yourself. So more from Sylvia and from Chez right after this. Right is this month's book club for June, and I'm joined in the studio by writer, journalist Sylvia Kent, and also by Ches Moulton, who is an inspirational speaker and therapist and clinical hypnotherapist and writer of Choice and Change. So we'll go straight to you, Ches. The book, now, how did the book, is this your first book that you've written?
It is. It's my first one, yes.
And it's called Choice and Change, How to Have a Healthy Relationship with Ourself and Others. So it gives a little bit of a clue. Why did you put this book together? What made you want to put the book together?
This is a culmination of what I've been speaking about in to groups and people, one-to-ones in my private practice over the last almost 25 years, 20 plus years, but 23 years now.
Yep.
And I just decided that I know that I have a message to give to people, and I just thought it would be easier to put it all in one place where people could get at it if they want, rather than just trying to go one-to-one-to-one to carry that message out. I mean, I still do that, of course. You know, people come to me in my private practice, but it's just a culmination of what I've learned, what I've been speaking about, and the concepts and by which I've been helping people over the last 20 some years.
Do people actually, if people have got things like depression or worries or issues that they haven't dealt with, do they have to really want to change to make a difference? It's a bit like giving up smoking. You have to want to stop smoking.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct. So do you, when you've got people that come in, do you say to them, you're not ready to see me? Would you say that to somebody that came in, maybe? They're not quite
No,
there?
I can't remember ever saying that because of the nature, because people come to me on their own volition.
Yeah.
By the time they walk in the door, they're already halfway there because they already now want to make some change. The only thing that's left up in the air is, the energy between us. If I can talk to them in a way during the consultation that makes a little bit of sense to give them a little bit of relief right away, that would allow them to think that I may be the person that may be able to help them take that migration that they're looking for, to go from over here to over there to make a change in their life.
What sort of reviews have you had back on the book from people that have read the book? What have you got back?
I'm happy and I'm humbled as well, because I hadn't thought about it this way before. I was just so sort of in my head about just trying to get this thing done and get it out and then get it published. But some of the people that have been reading it, that have been getting back to me, I'm quite pleased to say that they're telling me that it's a bit of a page turner. I thought that was the first person that told me that. I said, hey, I thought they were just trying to be nice, and I sort of just kind of brushed it off and with a compliment. But then other people have said the same thing. And different people who don't know each other have been calling me or writing me, sending me emails telling me in one way or another that it's a bit of a page turner. They can't put it down, and they're interested to get back at it. So great.
With the hypnotherapy, I know that you do hypnotherapy as well. Just explain to people, because I think some people think that you go under, you're not in control, and that isn't what hypnotherapy is about. It's, you go into a deeper kind of people's subconscious. So explain how hypnotherapy works.
Hypnotherapy is let's use the word trance then. That's the word that a lot of people use. It's not something that I would like to use. That word makes me bristle. But it's what everybody knows, the word everybody knows. So let's use the word trance. You're in a trance a couple of times a day anyways, right?
Yep.
The hypnotic state is the state where two things on opposite ends actually come together and work. Most of the time, on this planet, when two opposite things come together, they usually repel off of each other. But the hypnotic state, or a trance, is a heightened state of awareness coupled with a state of relaxation.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let me give you an example of this. So for people who are drivers, when's the last time you got to the roundabout, or you got to the stoplight, or the intersection, all of a sudden you realize, I can't remember that last couple of miles I just drove?
Yeah.
And we've all done that.
Yeah.
Because we were in a trance. So we were so relaxed, we were zoned out, we were daydreaming, we were lost in our thoughts, we were just driving along, our mind was wandering. That was our state of relaxation. But we're still in a heightened state of awareness, and I can prove it, because you're still able to function the car.
Yeah.
You veer off and crash into somebody or a tree or something, right? Mm-hmm. So you're in a trance. So all that happens when you come to a hypnotherapist, rather than sitting around saying, okay, Michelle, you in a trance yet? No? Okay. How about now? How about now?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's going to make an ass of both of us, right? And that's not what happens. So all I'm going to do, or all any hypnotherapist does, is helps, we use the word induce, so I'm going to help you achieve that state of relaxation. Now, there's two things that you need to know right away. I can't hypnotize you if you don't want to be. And two, even when you're hypnotized, I can't make you do anything that you don't already want to do.
Yep.
So it's perfectly safe. You're always aware, but maybe not aware in a conscious state that we're used to being, but you're still aware. And if I was to suggest to you anything that you didn't want to do, you'd probably just sort of jump up, slap me in the face, run out, and that would be the end of everything,
yep,
wouldn't it? Right? So everybody's perfectly safe.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, entering into that relaxed state and let's get the work done.
Now, you've got a tremendous website as well. If you go to all the W's, chesmoulton.com, that's M-O-U-L-T-O-N. You've got case studies, testimonials, you've got your blog there and all the services that you provide as well. Now, I just read, let me just have a quick look because, oh, you know, I put it on the back. Clinical Hypnotherapy Sports.
That's correct.
Yeah, explain that one, because I've
Yeah, okay, no problem. I've got three postgraduate, myself, I've got three postgraduate degrees in hypnotherapy and psychotherapy. Mm. One of them is a specialty in sports hypnosis and psychology, so...
How does that work for, is the sports people come to you to, is it to give them the edge over what they're doing in their game?
Yeah, there are three basic levels. There's a basic level, a preparatory level, and a performance level. So I'm dealing with people who want to get to Rio.
Yep.
In 2016, yep. And I'm dealing with people who just, you know, went down to the gym and joined the sports club, and they just want to play a little better tennis. They're not looking to get to Wimbledon or anything. They just want to go out with their mates or their girlfriends. They just want to play a little bit of tennis. Or somebody just who's a recreational golfer just wants to maybe lower their handicap by three or four strokes. That's all. All the way to somebody who's trying to get to Glasgow and get to Rio.
So it's motivation and...
Yeah, motivation, concentration, yeah. How to manage your emotions and your anxieties during game day or during the match, whatever happens to be.
Yeah.
It's attention.
Could you use...
Concentration.
Yes, could you use that? Say, for I know a couple of people who really, really want to lose weight this year. Mm-hmm. Could they come and see you? And the motivation then, could you help them?
Yes, of course I can. Yeah. With that, it goes beyond the motivation. There are other, there are some details in there involved. But yes, of course, yes. This is what I was saying earlier. When they walk through the door, because nobody's, you know, made them come to me, they're already, you know, halfway home.
Yeah. I like the idea of certainly the smoking. You know, a lot of people really want to stop smoking. Could you help them?
I normally do it in one session.
Do you?
Yeah. I've had people come through since I've been here in the UK. A lot of people come through.
Yeah.
One session and you won't smoke for the rest of your life.
Right.
Sometimes two sessions. It depends. But most people, one session, you'll never smoke again.
That sounds brilliant. And at the moment, it's exam time, isn't it? So how about the kids? How could you...
Yeah, I've had some... Not so far this year, but last year and during the... lead up to the 11 plus. Mm. Is that what they're called here?
Yeah,
the 11 plus?
Yeah.
Right. I've had some parents bring their children in anxiety for tests, what we call nerves and memory and recall, these types of things. And hypnosis works very well with all of that as well.
Yeah.
I think the main thing to say, if you're out there and you do have, I've said it before, if you have depression or anything like that, your brain is such a powerful tool. You don't realize how powerful you are. And if you think negative thoughts, and which is quite easy when you've got depression, but if you think negative thoughts, it makes you feel unwell. It doesn't make you feel very happy. If you try and make yourself feel positive, and your brain to actually, sometimes you have to trick your brain in or train your brain with somebody like Ches, who knows what he's doing. Obviously, I don't, but it does make a huge difference to the way you live your life. It really does. It's positive. You've got to try. But it is quite difficult sometimes if you've got a lot of negative thoughts in your head to get to the positives.
Now, I met some people like that at your book signing.
Mm.
What an interesting collection of people.
Interesting collection.
I was so quite excited to see it. We had musicians there.
Mm.
And you had some of our PR girls there. And you had authors there. And you had such a wonderful collection of friends.
Yeah, I felt very, very humbled. You know, when I got home that evening, I remember telling my wife, I couldn't believe that. Like, I've only been here for a couple of years and all these people, you know, that
they're on my website.
I couldn't believe that they would come out to support this and
your beautiful
and to see me.
Wife.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I just felt so.
Yeah.
That helps me make me feel, you know, welcomed in the community.
Yes,
yeah,
nice
absolutely.
And warm and,
yeah, it was great.
It was the best book signing, and I've been to hundreds.
Yep.
I've been all over, but this was so lavish.
Really? You think so?
Yes, we're lucky to get a glass of Tim somewhere, you know, in a sandwich. Mm. It was lovely.
Now, choice and change, how to have a healthy relationship with ourselves and others. Where can we get a copy of the book and how much is it?
There's a couple of places that you can get it. It's available on Amazon.co.uk, and it's also available locally at the Swan Bookstore in Upminster.
Oh, yep.
Right. And if you happen to run into me on the high street, you can probably, you know, tag me on the shoulder or something, and I'll grab one out of the trunk of my car or someplace where I can find one, and we can do an exchange.
Excellent. And the book is priced at $14.95.
It is. Amazon has it on a special right now. I noticed. I just happened to look on there the other day to see what they were doing with me.
Yep.
They've actually marked the book down to, I think it was £10, £10, something around that. So, yeah, they're just trying to push it and get it going for me. So I appreciate that.
But he will have proper marketing. You know, he needs to be out and about.
I have that in the
works.
It's all
worked
out. Yes.
Don't forget, Choice and Change, How to Have a Healthy Relationship with Ourselves and Others. Ches Moulton, out now. You can get it on Amazon and also at the Swan Bookshop as well. Just moving back to Sylvia, because we're going to be going over to the headline news.
Yeah. Well, Brentwood Writers Circle now, you know, 73 years. You'll see it in the Gazette, I think, tomorrow. We've got a whole day event from 10 until 4. Only once a year we do this.
Yep.
Saturday, 5th of July, and it should be good. All our top people will be there. You can learn how to write short stories in all the magazines, consumer magazines, from Margaret Marsden. And you'll learn about London, and you'll learn about what London was like in Victorian times. I think she's Sarah Ward, I think, is the.
And when is it taking place tomorrow?
No, on the 5th of July.
5th of July.
Yeah.
And whereabouts?
It's at the Ursuline, as usual. We take over the big hall, and everyone's coming, so it should be fun.
And is it for? Do you have to pay? And what time does it start?
Unfortunately, because it's a whole day, and you get a wonderful lunch with it. And we've got everyone coming, and that actually is £20.
Yeah.
So, but for members, it's £6.
And what time does it kick off at the Ursuline?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
All day.
Yep.
And at the end, we're going to have a brains trust, and yours truly is going to be doing the journalist bit, you know, those who want to be journalists. Because I actually do that at the local schools.
Oh, right.
If they want to go into this business, which is very hard.
Yes, very.
So, but it's always lovely being on here, and I love hearing the when you send us the report, as we were saying, that later we hear all the mistakes we've made.
No, you don't make any mistakes. Don't forget, if you did miss the beginning bit of the interview, I've been talking to Ches Moulton and also Sylvia Kent with the book club for June. This will be going up on the website at the end, and we'll have all the details for the website for Ches, which I'll give you again. It's all the W's, chesmoulton.com, where you can buy the book. Your husband is outside, Sylvia. He's back in. He always gets there really quick.
He keeps an eye on me.
He does keep an eye. Unless you think, is he taking you out for lunch? You're looking very smart today. Where are you going?
I'm interviewing actually this afternoon.
Can you say who it is?
No, I can't.
Could that be my special guest that's coming out?
I'm going to get you him. I really will, because he keeps phoning. So.
Oh, I see. He's friends of the stars. I can't say. I wish it was Dudley Moore. He would be one of the people. I know he died about 10 years ago. But the one thing I have to tell you about Dudley Moore, and this is true, I wrote him a letter because I was a big fan of his, probably about a year before he died. I didn't send it. And then a year later, I found it on my computer. I just changed it, and I thought, I'm going to send it to Dudley Moore. And I sent it, and the next day, blow me down, he died.
Yes.
And you know what? When I was reading up an autobiography, and it said every letter that he received from fans, he replied to personally. Every letter.
And his mum used to help him too.